Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting you live from Louisville, Kentucky, and in Washington, D.C. today. Franklin Graham led a prayer service at the Pentagon. Now, he did so outside the Pentagon, standing with about six people with whom he shared a silent prayer. The controversy here, of course, is the fact that Franklin Graham had been invited to lead an official National Day of Prayer prayer service inside the Pentagon at the invitation of the Department of the Army, but he was disinvited because back in April, the official spokesman for the Army said that his comments about Islam were inappropriate. The literal expression he used was not appropriate. Folks, what's not appropriate is an official of the Defense Department rendering a theological verdict on a statement made by a Christian minister. What's not appropriate is disinviting a man for establishing his own position as that of classic Christianity. I wrote an article today at albertmohler.com, and I waited to post this article until the morning's events were complete. I did so because I did not want to be undone by events. I recognized that this morning something could have happened that would be unexpected, and the story might have turned into a different story, but that did not happen. Instead, what happened is that Franklin Graham's disinvitation stood. He did not speak at the official event at the Pentagon as was invited. At my website, I published the article entitled, Who Will Be Tested Next? The Dilemma of Franklin Graham. And I want to tell you what I think is missing from the conversation about this. The Pentagon faced a test. The Pentagon horribly failed that test. It was a test the Pentagon should have known was coming, and they should have seen it before. And I'm in a position to know, because back in 2003, the Pentagon had Franklin Graham invited to speak at a special Good Friday service inside the Pentagon, and more or less the very same people complained about the very same comments. And the Pentagon back in 2003 stood firm, and Franklin Graham came and gave the address. In the midst of that controversy, Bill O'Reilly of Fox News, The O'Reilly Factor, asked me to come on his program and speak about the issue, and I did. That's why I remember it so clearly. And now, just 7 years later, the Pentagon, with the same man invited, with the same words that he spoke back in 2001 at issue, now says that the comments were not appropriate and disinvited Franklin Graham. Now, there is so much controversy today about the National Day of Prayer. You've got a federal judge rendering it unconstitutional. You have President Obama nonetheless declaring it. You've got events going on here, there, and just about everywhere. You've got a lot of conversation in the public today about whether or not such a thing is constitutional, whether or not such a thing is right. There are a lot of issues here for Christians to discuss, but I want to tell you the one thing I think is most important. The Pentagon faced a test in this issue. The Pentagon failed miserably. Franklin Graham faced a test in this issue, and I think he passed wonderfully. He will not be the last to be tested. What I'd make clear in my article is what I hope you will see, and that is that what Franklin Graham said about Islam is what a Christian minister pressed will have to say about Islam and should be ready to say when he is asked, and that is that Islam does not lead to salvation, that any belief system that pulls people away from belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed evil, idolatrous, and deadly. And there's just no other way to put this. The Bible itself is clear. If we believe in the exclusivity of the gospel of Christ, if we believe that Jesus alone is Savior and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only message of salvation, then anything that pulls people away from that is something we have to oppose. Franklin Graham went on to write in one of his books that Christianity is locked in a battle with Islam for the hearts and souls of people until Jesus comes. And I think any honest assessment of the world situation and the gospel says that's true. My question is, where are all the evangelical preachers and the evangelical Christians who one day are going to have to answer this same question? You're going to have to answer the question, and you're going to face the same test. Let's test that today on the Albert Mohler Program. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I would encourage you to go to my website at albertmohler.com and find my article. It's getting a good deal of chatter already. And I'd like for you to join the conversation by giving me a call, writing me at mail@albertmohler.com. And communicating by social media, Twitter/Albert Mohler, and at Facebook, the Albert Mohler Program. There are other issues in the news. I think the biggest and most significant issue in the news today is the election going on in Great Britain And there is some coverage of this, of course, in the American media, but I think probably an insufficient amount of coverage because this really is big news. We're going to get a sense of where the British people are in terms of some of the biggest questions faced not only by the citizens of the United Kingdom, but the citizens of the United States. The biggest and most germane issue in the British elections is this: what should be the role of the government? Because ever since World War II, with the exception of the years under Margaret Thatcher, the British government has been taking on more and more and more. By some estimations, now get this, please listen to this carefully. By some estimations, one out of every two jobs in Great Britain is in effect a government job. You start looking at that and you say, well, that's basically a government-run economy. And what you see in Great Britain is the recognition that they no longer can pay for this. And the question is going to be, what in the world are they going to do? So between the Labour Party and the Liberal Democratic Party and the Conservative Party, there's a legitimate debate on the role of the state going on in Great Britain. We're going to find out within the next 24 hours where the people in Britain stand. And as history has shown, that is often an indication of what happens on this side of the Atlantic, where in just a matter of a few months, we're also going to have an election here that will tell much the same story. The same issues are in play, and it is because the same economic and political factors are at work. We'll be watching that with you. Perhaps by the time we're in conversation on this program tomorrow, we'll have a pretty good idea of where it goes. Election polls in Great Britain indicate that the Conservative Party is likely to gain a plurality, which is to say more seats than anyone else, but not necessarily a majority, which is what is needed to form a government. So there's the possibility in Great Britain of a hung parliament. And we'll be talking about that more over the next couple of days. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, Georgia, a Lutheran pastor is being reinstalled. An Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, ELCA Lutheran pastor Bradley Schmeling, is being reinstated as pastor in good standing on the roster of St. John's Lutheran Church in Atlanta. What makes this remarkable is that this indicates the acceptance within the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of openly homosexual ministers. The Reverend Bradley Schmeling lives with his partner, the Reverend Darren Eastler, and both of them have been approved for reinstatement to the official clergy roster of the ELCA. A good deal of protest coming from conservative Lutherans, but this is nothing more than the working out of the logic that this denomination put in place last summer. Last summer, we talked about this a good deal on this program. I wrote about it on my website. You can go and find it. The ELCA basically said, we're going to allow multiple interpretations of Scripture, including the interpretations of Scripture that say that Scripture doesn't have any relevance to this question at all. And a denomination that swallows the poison pill of that kind of theological liberalism, of that kind of interpretive relativism, is a denomination that will no longer have a position on anything. And in this case, they're saying they're going to allow multiple understandings of homosexual marriage and of homosexual clergy. Well, folks, the moment you have multiple positions, guess what? The conservative position disappears. Because the conservative position, the biblical position in this case, says that homosexuality is a sin and that there's no way to justify openly homosexual clergy or homosexual marriage. You can't say, we're not sure it's right, but we're going to allow it. And it's obviously a move that will lead to the exodus of even more conservatives and evangelical Christian believers out of denominations such as the ELCA that move in that direction. Folks, I've talked about the Nashville situation with you, the flooding in the central states of the U.S., central south, particularly in Mississippi, southern Kentucky, and in Tennessee. But I saw it as I was going through Nashville on Monday night. It was dark. I saw something that I really had never seen before, and that was a flooded area where there were even service stations and other businesses where you could see the water up to the roof line covering cars, vans, and trucks. But with the light still shining on, still shining. I have no idea how that happens. It was an eerie sight. But yesterday, I spent an inordinate amount of time stuck in Nashville trying to get through the city, seeing in the daylight the devastation. Folks, this has affected people who are friends of mine, probably friends of yours. This is affecting churches. One news report out today indicated that there will not be a church in metropolitan Nashville, Tennessee, that will not be affected by this. There are, of course, vast areas of destruction, including very popular areas such as the world's largest hotel, the Opryland Conference Center and Hotel, where, get this, if it's not strange enough, fish, including piranha, that have been on display are now loose and swimming around the facility. Meanwhile, one of my own interns has parents in the area who woke up the morning after the flood to find emus in the front yard. Noah, call your office. Folks, there are people there who are suffering and trying to rebuild lives. It's just a reminder to us that we are all vulnerable in ways we do not know. The people in Nashville did not see this coming, and now they're looking at a generation-shaping disaster. I'm glad to tell you that Christian disaster relief teams of denominations and churches are flooding into the area and will be doing good work. Let's pray they have an opportunity to give out many glasses of cold water in Christ's name. We'll be back to talk about what Franklin Graham said that led to him having no opportunity to say anything inside the Pentagon today. We'll talk about the test he faced, the test that will face all of us. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Franklin Graham did not pray or speak inside the Pentagon this morning in the official National Day of Prayer service to which he'd previously been invited. Instead, he ended up leading a small group of people in silent prayer outside the Pentagon just to make very clear that he was going to be there, even though he was disinvited. The background of this is fascinating. The role of Franklin Graham is clear here. He is the son of evangelist Billy Graham, well-known evangelist, well-known for his plain-spokenness. He has spoken at the Pentagon numerous times before. He is this year the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. He was invited to speak at the Pentagon, and until controversy erupted, he was scheduled to give that address and to be that speaker today. It didn't happen because Mickey Weinstein and some other secularists, and including evidently some Muslim groups, complained about his appearance because of statements that he had made about Islam back in 2001 and subsequently. By the way, in those statements, Franklin Graham said that Islam is wicked, violent, and not of the same God. In his book, The Name, Franklin Graham has said that Christianity and Islam are locked in, quote, a classic struggle that will end with the second coming of Christ, end quote. And what you had here was a clear rejection of his message. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it was verified by the Pentagon. A spokesman for the Pentagon, in explaining why Franklin Graham was being disinvited, said it was because his appearance would be divisive, would send the wrong signal, and because Franklin Graham's comments about Islam were, quote, not appropriate. Now, just for a moment, imagine what just happened there. A representative, an official of the Pentagon, of the United States Department of Defense, in this case, the Department of the Army, made a theological judgment about statements made by Franklin Graham. Fascinating, isn't it? How inappropriate is that? How scary is that, quite frankly? But he was disinvited. Now, what I want to help us all to see, there are so many issues here. The constitutionality of the National Day of Prayer is being debated by some today. There are some Christians who question the value of something like the National Day of Prayer because of its kind of interfaith overtones, and I share those concerns. There are people who are trying to focus on what Franklin Graham has said about Islam being violent, about discrimination against women, and a propensity towards violent behavior. That's not really what we're talking about here either, because that's not what got him in trouble. What got him in trouble was when he made very clear that he is an exclusivist. He holds to the exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's put it that way. He believes there's only one way of salvation, and that is through conscious believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes only one gospel that leads to salvation. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thus he believes that anything that falls short of that or denies that or seduces people away from that, from faith in Christ, is an evil, idolatrous system that leads not to life but to death. As I said earlier, I went on the O'Reilly Factor back in 2003 to defend Franklin Graham when the issue of him speaking at the Pentagon was even then a matter of public debate. Back in 2003, however, the Pentagon stalwartly refused to disinvite Franklin Graham, instead saying, the spokesman saying, well, I personally would not agree with some of Reverend Graham's comments and observations. I would defend his right to have his religious views as part of the freedom we have as Americans, end quote. Well, the Army changed that policy and canceled him for the event scheduled today. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let me tell you what I hope we can focus on. It is my argument that what happened to Franklin Graham is going to happen to every single evangelical pastor in one way or another. Evangelical pastors, preachers, ministers, and for that matter, individual believers, are going to be put on the spot to answer the question, what do you believe about Islam? What is your judgment on Islam? And that's where we are either going to be faithful to the gospel or we are going to be unfaithful. The belief that any system of thought or worldview, any belief system that leads away from the gospel of Christ is evil and must be confronted, that is classical Christianity. Franklin Graham was disinvited from the Pentagon today for saying what any biblical, evangelical, faithful, gospel preacher of the gospel would have to say. And he will not be the last to be tested, I guarantee you. This is a test that one day is going to come down not only to every single evangelical pastor, it's going to come to every single evangelical Christian. And some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about because you live on the front lines of this on a college or university campus, or you are in a place where you cannot avoid the question. Now, a lot of people want to avoid the question. You cannot avoid it for long. You know, don't ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. The disinvitation of Franklin Graham is a sign of things to come. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Love for you to join the conversation. Write me at mail@albertmoeller.com. Glad to hear from you by Facebook or Twitter at Facebook, the Albert Moeller Program. At Twitter, it's /Albert Moeller. Again, the phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're evidently got some callers coming in. Hopefully we can get that material up here quickly and we can get to that conversation. But it is a matter that should be of our prime consideration and concern. This is a matter that will affect every single one of us. Folks, this is something that I felt very important in writing about it today. And as we wrote about it, we wanted you to know that this is not something now that has merely been threatened and is out in the future. This is something that has now happened. And it is a matter that isn't limited to Franklin Graham. It will affect every single one of us. All right, what we're looking at here is a situation in which we have no idea, frankly, what's going on in terms of callers, but the phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. My article published today has already received a good deal of criticism, which is really interesting because folks are writing back who clearly believe that Christian ministers should get away with not saying anything about this situation. And that's simply not going to work. What we have here is a meltdown, frankly, that has to do not only with the Pentagon, but with the secular society at large. And what we have here will soon be a matter that will affect every single Christian. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Robert calling from Tampa, Florida on line two. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Dr. Moeller, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What do you think?
I'm doing good. Just want to say I appreciate you taking my call. Love your show. For starters, what I would think it's pretty simple. As a young Christian who's been blessed with great teaching from my church and from my Christian parts of my family, through all the great theologians I've been blessed with listening to, yourself, a number of great theologians on the radio, on TV, and in my own church, I always find myself being drawn back by the Lord to basic, simple fundamentals. Whatever the Lord is against, as a saved Christian and follower of Jesus Christ, I have to be against it as well. In my small world, I've been dealt with those types of scenarios, and by the grace of God, not by my own works or strength, the Holy Spirit has convicted me to stand firm for Him. I've failed in some cases, but I can say confidently and humbly that the Lord has helped me and guided me to constantly preach the salvation, the plan of salvation of Jesus Christ. The Muslim faith is wrong, and God will judge that sadly enough, but it is the truth, and we're to support that, and I support Franklin Graham. He's one of my heroes, and to encourage all of the elders who have raised me up, don't worry, guys, there's a couple of us young bucks out there that are trying to preach God's word as hard as we can. God bless you, Albert Moeller. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I appreciate your call. You know, the reality is that Franklin Graham is an illustration of the fact that sometimes you get in trouble for answering a question you get asked. And I really appreciate your call. And Robert, the fact is that every single one of us is going to be asked the question. It's not just that we're standing on the interstate holding up a sign saying Islam is a false religion. It's a question that has to be answered. The phone number is 877-893-8255. You're listening to the Albert Moeller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Let's go immediately to calls. I can see you're there now. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Marcy's calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Marcy.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. I just wanted to say that I think it was absolutely ridiculous that our people in Washington, D.C. do not have the gumption to stand up for what this country was founded on, and that was Christian values. I think, you know, this is just a prime example that we as Christians have been silent for so long that and just accepted the politically correct way of doing things, that if we don't start standing up, we are going to be seeing far worse things coming, you know, down the path for us.
Yeah, Marcy, I appreciate your call. Let me tell you, I think that many Christians are going to see this controversy over Franklin Graham and say we need to stand up for our rights. That's not an irrelevant statement for sure. I think we've got to stand up most of all for the gospel and be very clear that our concern is the gospel of Christ. And that is how we have to determine our answer to questions such as, what do you say about Islam? It's not sufficient. It's not acceptable for a Christian pastor to speak as if Islam is a way that leads to salvation. Now, if you believe that, then let's be clear and just go ahead and say you're a universalist, you are a relativist, you're an inclusivist, and you do not believe that one has to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And then the church will know where you stand, and we'll all know. But don't parade as a Christian preacher and think you can somehow get around an honest answer that's going to have to sound remarkably like Franklin Graham. And when you start looking at it that way, you realize it's a gospel issue. And there is a rights issue here. Let me tell you, I think one of the most difficult knots to untie in all of this is what a Christian now says at the Pentagon or on the steps of the Capitol or in any official governmental function. Because if indeed what we have here is a clear signal from the Pentagon saying anyone who says anything that might make anyone upset is no longer invited to speak at any event in the Pentagon, then basically we're all out. And the only people you're going to have left are going to be the most liberal, inclusivist people who are not in danger of saying anything that might offend anyone when it comes to matters of theology or moral judgment. Marcy, thanks for your call. Let's go to Matt calling from Abingdon, Virginia, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
Doing fine. Glad to hear from you. What do you think?
Well, I think this controversy is not just an evangelical controversy, and I know a lot of people have differences in denominational beliefs and background, but I think we need to look at this as an attack on the body of Christ in general, not just a denominational attack. I think this is a core issue that every denominational background can wrap their brain around and stand together. We have to unite as a body of Christ under this.
Okay, now Matt. Thank you so much. Don't hang up. Hang with me a minute. When you're talking about the body of Christ and standing together in this, you mean standing together when we're together in the gospel, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting attacked here. This is not just like a slap on the wrist of Franklin Graham. This is an attack on the body of Christ. This is telling every pastor from East Coast to West Coast, Baptist, Presbyterian, what have you, to shut up and sit down.
Yeah, well, you're certainly right about this being irrelevant to denominational identification here. It is extremely relevant to one's commitment to the gospel. And I really appreciate your concern about focusing on Christians standing together in the gospel, because that's the issue here. This is not a denominational issue. It's not an organizational issue. This isn't about Samaritan's Purse or the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It's about the gospel, because the ground of offense here is the gospel. It's not even what Franklin Graham may have said about Islam being prone to violence or mistreating women or things like that. That's been cited out there as well. But what was clear, and it becomes very, very clear in a conversation that Franklin Graham had with John Meacham and Lisa Miller of Newsweek magazine. I provide the link to that at my article found at albertmiller.com today. And that interview, by the way, came in just the last day or so. where it's very clear that that the exclusivist position held by Franklin Graham, which, by the way, that word sounds like it rankles the modern mind, doesn't it? Exclusivist? Well, that's what we're talking about when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ said he is the exclusive Savior. The gospel of Christ is the exclusive message of salvation. And that has been what the true church has recognized from the apostles to the present. To deny that is not merely to kind of sit on our hands theologically, it's to deny the faith. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We've got callers on the line. I want to go quickly to Robert calling from Clearwater, Florida, listening to WTBN. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Mueller. How are you? God bless you for all the work that you do for all of us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call. What do you think?
Well, I think of it like this. You know, it's really funny, Dr. Mueller, how every other major religion in the world can be exclusive in their beliefs. So, in other words, they don't have to include every other religion with what their belief system is, except Christianity. We're supposed to include everybody else. We're not supposed to say what you're doing is wrong, and that is wrong in itself. I think that's persecution. And you know what, Dr. Mueller? None of us should be surprised that this is happening because the Bible says that it's start getting worse for us. And especially with the new administration that we're in, I'm not surprised that it's happened. Are you? I mean, can you really say that you're surprised that the Department of Defense wants to exclude Mr. Graham with Obama as president?
Well, let's put it this way. I think it's very interesting, Robert, to concede your point and to affirm it. I think it's very interesting that in the years between 2003 and 2010, you have a Pentagon spokesman saying opposite things. In 2003, you had the spokesman saying that Franklin Graham is going to be respected for having the right to say what he believes. In 2010, you had the official spokesperson for the Pentagon saying that Franklin Graham's comments about Islam are, quote, not appropriate, end quote. So, you know, elections have consequences, administrations have consequences, leaders have consequences. Not only is there a different president, there's a different secretary of defense. There's not only a different secretary of defense, there's a different secretary of the army. And, you know, Robert, here's what's really interesting. And I wrote this just as a minor point in my article, but one that I think needs to be said. What we're looking at here is the fact that the United States Army, in fact, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the American Armed Forces are made up overwhelmingly of conservative Christians. And the reason for that is, and I asked this question in my article, if you're an Army recruiter, where would you rather recruit? Cambridge, Massachusetts, or College Station, Texas? You know, let's face the issue there. We all know that that the Army and the Armed Forces are disproportionately Christian even than the population because they're the people who are likely to enlist. You know, again, I don't think you're going to have happy enlistment day at the campus of Harvard University, which, by the way, the armed forces aren't allowed on in that sense, at least in many formats, because of the don't ask, don't tell policy. Versus what you have in other places where there will be a predominantly conservative, predominantly Christian culture. And there you have much higher rates of enlistment and participation in the armed forces. So at the very mathematical level, the Army's created a problem for itself. At the political level, I think the Obama administration has created a huge problem for itself. Franklin Graham is saying that openly. And by the way, my website today at albertmueller.com, in this article, I provide a link to a USA Today piece by our friend Kathy Lynn Grossman, a very, very fine reporter, who makes the point that that indeed Franklin Graham is calling out President Obama on this because, after all, he is the commander in chief. What goes on in the Pentagon eventually is answerable in the Oval Office. Robert, thanks so much for your call. You know, one other thing I just want to point out, just based on Robert's call, is that there are other belief systems which are not exclusivistic. In other words, that's why you can see some of these books on the bookstall. You know, why I'm a this Buddhist or a hyphenated that. It's because Buddhism is really not all that exclusivistic. Hinduism, depending on who you talk to, is and isn't. But Islam and Christianity are. And that gets to the point, the very essential point made by Franklin Graham in his book when he said that for the foreseeable future, and he said until Jesus comes, Christianity and Islam are going to be locked in a warfare for in a battle for the souls of human beings. And I can't see any way of complaining about that statement anyway. I can't imagine any criticism I would give to it. It may be politically incorrect, but it's very theologically correct. And if you don't focus on the gospel, then you can make this merely a matter of politics and etiquette. If you don't focus on the gospel, then you can make this merely a matter of religious liberty and constitutional law and the appropriateness of certain kinds of comments made about minorities. But if you are focused on the gospel, you've got no room. You've got nowhere to go because the gospel demands that we answer the question in a way that's faithful to the gospel. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Sanford's listening to WFIA. Go ahead, Sanford.
Hello, Dr. Mueller. I believe this to be an attack on our actual freedom of religion by using a roundabout attack on freedom of speech, by limiting what we can say and basically making us excluding us based on our beliefs because we speak it. It then attacks our religious freedom, and I think that's where the ultimate goal is to not lock that down, just like they're locking down healthcare and other areas. They want to compartmentalize our lives.
Yeah, very interesting point, Sanford. You know, let me tell you, I think one of the most interesting twists and turns related to this, the controversy about Franklin Graham has to do with an event to be held in the Pentagon. The Department of Defense in general, the Department and the Army specifically, was sponsoring this particular event and had Franklin Graham scheduled to speak. And see, here's the thing. The Army spokesperson who announced the disinvitation of Franklin Graham was very clear in saying that they needed a more inclusive speaker, a more inclusive event. Well, the problem with that is that that privileges a certain theological understanding. That means that those who participate are, by definition, those who can participate in a more inclusivist kind of understanding, which means that conservative Christians are just written out. Now, conservative Christians are not a persecuted minority in this country. But what we are facing is an incredible onslaught of real hatred towards the gospel and towards the truth of the gospel coming from people in high places, in authority, from the cultural elites, from the academic and scholarly elites, from the media and entertainment elites, and now from the Pentagon. There are interesting legal questions here. There are legal and constitutional questions at stake here. But let's be clear, Franklin Graham still has the freedom to say what he believes about Islam. I still have the freedom to say what I believe about Islam because I must speak about it if I'm going to be true to saying what I believe about the gospel of Christ. I'm not worried about being arrested for speaking the truth about the gospel. Not yet. I'm worried about all those pastors who are in no danger of being arrested. They are in no danger of being lambasted in the press. They're in no danger of being disinvited from anything because they're not taking a stand on this and they're acting like it's someone else's problem. Thanks for your call, Sanford. You could be next. Call me at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back with more in the Albert Mueller Program. All right, we have just a few minutes left. Let's go to Nathan calling from Shelbyville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Nathan.
Dr. Mueller, thanks for taking my call. Just real quick, what else can they do? If you've got a guy up there who's preaching the gospel, believes the gospel, and he's telling them the only way to know God is through his son Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, you've got folks in the crowd that are Muslim, Baha'i, all assortment of faiths. They're naturally going to be offended. I guess my question is, what else can they do, and should we as evangelical, gospel-loving Christians expect them to do anything else? I mean, it seems like our authority, biblically, is within the church. How should we expect the government to do anything else other than to keep the peace? And this seems like something that would not help keep the peace.
Yeah, the problem, and I understand exactly where you're going there, Nathan, and there's a good logic to what you're saying, and certainly your focus on the church is absolutely fundamentally true. We should not look to the government to sponsor our prayers. We should not look to the government to provide us a platform for our prayers. But where the government has a platform, and in that situation, it is supposedly to serve the interests of troops, many of whom are believers and for whom there is inadequate access, for instance, to their own church. That's the constitutional and legal argument for chaplains and for others. Then you ought to show up as who you are. And so, Nathan, when you ask what should they do, I think I can bite on that lure and try to give you an answer. I think what they should do is invite people to show up for what they are. And there are Muslim chaplains in the armed services. Let them show up as Muslims. There are Christian and that means there are evangelical and there are Roman Catholic chaplains and speakers. And let them show up as who they are. Let them show up with a full measure of conviction. You know, and if people are offended, well, they have no right to be offended. The United States Constitution affords no one a right not to be offended. The reality is that in the public square, and here's the problem, Nathan, the government dominates so much of the public square. The government actually holds people within the kind of custodial relationships, the armed forces being a key example here, in which they have privileged access, and these people do not have the normal access to the church. And for that reason, you know, boy, there's some tough and excruciating questions here. You know, Nathan, I really appreciate your call. I think it's a great one in the program because it reminds us of the fact that without the National Day of Prayer, the church would still be the church. And the whole idea of a National Day of Prayer that has anything to do with government sponsorship ought to give us at least some very significant pause because controversies like this are inevitable. We should not ask the government to sponsor our prayer. But where the government has a platform, there should be equal access to persons of this faith and of that faith and of no faith. And that's just what's required by our constitutional orders. The same reason why you have equal access legislation that's saying you have to have a Bible club if you're going to allow other clubs. But at the same time, you can't compel anyone to go to the Bible club. All right. We've opened more cans than we can close. That's the way a good conversation ought to be. We'll get to the other ones as we have time. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.